chapter of Deuteronomy, and you thought it would never happen. But we do have. I want to review. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, as far as I know at this point. But talking about all the times that we find in this book the word remember. And so it's an awesome way to nail down some of the things that we need to remember. All right, we've seen that Moses left behind some gifts for his people and also for us today. We saw in chapter 33 a message filled with grace and mercy. Today, let's look at, secondly, a warning for God's servants. First eight verses of chapter 34, a warning for God's servants. And do we have anybody that would be willing to read verses 1 through 8? Okay, George, go ahead.
And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I sware unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended.
All right, thank you. A warning for God's servants. The fact that Moses was going to die was repeated often. It's been repeated about 9 times. It was no surprise. Remember, death is an appointment. It's not an accident. For the child of God, especially, of course, everybody, it's appointed unto men how many times to die? Once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 27. And so we have an appointment. Now, we can do things to speed that up, can't we? If you smoke 3 packs a day, chances are you won't live to your appointed time, right? If you jump out in front of a speeding bus and you get flattened, that's going to end your life right then. But we cannot add days. We can subtract days by sin and the way we live, but we cannot add days. There is an appointment, and we all have an appointment date. Psalm 139 teaches us that this is predetermined. God already knows the moment that we are conceived. He knows when, and he does before, of course. But he knows when our time is. Moses, of course, knew exactly. He knew that he was not going to enter the promised land. He knew that he was going to die before the people would go. Moses had begun his ministry in a field outside of Horeb or Sinai. He tended sheep for his father-in-law in Midian. Now he would end his ministry, leaving his sheep behind with Joshua and the elders, and he would go up alone to Sinai or Horeb and meet the Lord and forever be with the Lord. The emphasis in the verses that George has read, verses 1 through 8, is more on the fact that he would not be able to enter the promised land than really his death. That's the real focus, the fact that he was not able. And you feel kind of bad for him because he went through so much and the people just gave him a fit. And he just got fed up with the complaining and the murmuring, the grumbling, the accusations, the threats of, well, we'll just go back to Egypt. They got cucumbers there, and they got leeks and all kinds of good stuff to eat. We want to go back to Egypt, the old life. And of course, he finally had enough, and he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he smacked it. And the worst part about it was not even the fact that he disobeyed in that way. That was bad enough. But if you read the account, which we did recently, we're not going to turn back and do it again. But he made it sound like he was providing the water. So in that sense, he violated God's word in word and deed. Not only did he do the wrong thing, but he said the wrong thing as well. And he kind of usurped the glory of God. He tried to take the glory for himself. And tragically, because of that, because remember, Moses was the lawgiver. God used him. He was instrumental in setting up the nation as far as the religious part and the ceremony and all that. He got it all from God, but he was the leader in all that. And so when you're the leader, with the privilege of leadership comes responsibility as well. The greater the privileges, the greater the responsibility. So the architect of the Jewish nation could not enter the promised land that had been promised to the patriarchs. In verse number 1, Moses went up from the plains of Moab, which of course is the range or ridge. The highest point is Nebo. That's not Moab, I'm sorry, that's Pisgah. Under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, the range or ridge, the highest point being Nebo, that is over against Jericho or opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, or as far as Dan. So he showed him the entire panoramic view of all of the land that the people were to inherit. All Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah under the utmost sea, or the western sea, which would be Mediterranean Sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees under Zoar. And the south would have been, if you read it in one of the newer translations, it'll say Negev, but it's really Negev is what we would, the southern portion of Israel. So he got to see it. That's it. That's not the same, is it? That's not the same. But he did finally see it. Not all of it at one time, but anybody remember where Moses ended up in the New Testament? Where did Moses appear in the New Testament?
The Mount of
Transfiguration. Yeah. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. Remember, Peter, James, and John went up there with Jesus. They were the big three. They went up and they saw Jesus transfigured. They saw his radiant, not his full radiant glory, because they would have been consumed. But they did see of the glory of Christ. And man, Peter, of course, you know, his mouth's got to be moving. And he said, hey, this is awesome. How about if let's put some tents up. Let's just kind of stay here. Why go back down to the mess? We'll just stay up here on the mountain. But Moses and Elijah were there. And remember, Moses even spoke to Jesus about his exodus. He said that Jesus would go to Jerusalem. Of course, Jesus knew this. And he would die there. That would be his exodus. You can write down if you want. We're not going to turn there. But Matthew 17, 1 through 3. Matthew 17, 1 through 3, and Luke 9, verses 28 through 31. I think I'm going to change my mind and read the Matthew account. You don't mind, do you? You have time? Matthew 17, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. I'm going to read on a little bit because this is awesome. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I love this. This is awesome. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles or tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. That is so awesome. After seeing the Lord, of course, Moses died. After seeing the land, Moses died. And the Lord and the archangel Michael buried him so no one could find him. Somebody tell me what would happen if they would have found his body. Yeah, they would have worshipped him. He would have ended up some shrine somewhere and folks would have bowed down. You can read about that. We just went through Jude not long ago, but Jude verse 9 talks about the conflict between the archangel Michael and Satan himself. Satan wanted the body. They contended for the body. And of course, the actual context was not speaking evil of dignitaries and showing that even Michael, the archangel, did not rebuke Satan. Sometimes we get a little bold. If I see the devil, I just punch him right in the nose. You know, that kind of thing. We are not as powerful as Satan, but greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. So with the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God, we're able to stand against the cunning devices of the wicked one. We have the word of God. Remember Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness and in Matthew 4, what did he use? He used the word of God to fight the devil. The Bible says if we resist the devil, and we do that with the word of God and with prayer, he will flee from us. So that's how you fight the devil. But I want to remind you that the devil is one individual. Okay? He can only be one place at a time. Now, how many people are on the face of the planet right now? 7 billion, 7 point some billion probably. Now, since there's 7 billion plus people, and there's only one devil, what do you think the chances are that he's going to fool with you or me?
Didn't he take angels with him?
No, wait a minute. I'm not finished.
Okay.
Easy now. Sorry. Down, boy, down. So, if there's one devil, and he knows his time is running out, who do you think he's going to fool with more than anybody?
World leaders.
Yeah, the leaders of the world. Yeah. He's doing a good job with Biden. Biden's eating right out of his hand like a puppy. But as Gary, being on the ball like he is. No, you're fine. I mean, you're on the ball. That's good. A third of the angels fell with Satan. So there are a whole lot of demons. But even demons, normally they're involved in more of the deeper, darker regions of the world. But they are around and they are real. And they do hinder us try to hinder us sometimes. But we tend, my whole point, I have a point. You say, Pastor, you got a point? Yeah, I have a point, and a lot of times I wear a hat to cover it up. But seriously, the point is that normally our problems are self-created. And those that we don't create for ourselves, life is full of difficulties. We're going to talk in the next hour about suffering a little bit. And we suffer in this life. But a lot of what we have to endure is self-inflicted. And some things just happen because we're in human bodies. Our bodies break. Parts go bad. People get cancer. People have heart attacks. People have strokes. Things happen. Our bodies wear out. And that's just part of life. That's part of the curse. So we got to be careful when we throw everything on the devil. Sometimes it makes us feel better, but it's not accurate. Bill, I saw your hand. Were you just waving, or?
C.S. Lewis wrote an interesting book called The Screwtape Letters.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're an ultra right-wing fundamentalist, because they say that C.S. Lewis wrote cultic material. Were you taught that in the...
I don't
think so. Yeah. Yeah, I was... I don't agree with that. I have stuff by C.S. Lewis. But yeah, that is an interesting... I think I have the Screwtape Letters. I don't know. I don't think I ever finished reading it. I've got a lot of books. If I ever do retire and still have half a mind and can see, I got enough books to last me. The problem is I keep buying books because there's so much new stuff. But I've got, oh my goodness. Anyway, I guess we should move on, right? All right, so we saw a warning for God's servants, and then lastly, an example for God's servants. An example for God's servants. Beginning with verse number 9, going through verse 12. Somebody want to read those? Excellent. Go ahead, Annadale.
And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of Moses, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and all the great terror which Moses drew in the sight of all Israel.
All right, thank you. Do you think there were times when Moses wanted to quit? Yeah, we can read about when the Lord gave the elders, I think it was 70, to finally help him. He was in one of those down times. I mean, we see the prophets. Elijah, one of the greatest victories recorded in the Word of God, the confrontation of Mount Carmel. Remember that? And God, not only did he consume the sacrifice after the prophets of Baal called down their gods, who did nothing because they're not real, and they started cutting themselves, thinking, well, maybe if I cut myself, that's going to show our gods how serious we really are, and nothing happened. And Elijah kind of just chuckled, and he called down fire from heaven, and he had dumped, I love this, took the sacrifice, saturated with water. They had a trough to catch the blood around the base, filled that with water, filled it all with water, dripping wet. Called fire down, God sent fire from heaven and consumed everything and licked the water up. That's a pretty good victory. What do you think? But then he got word that Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, wicked lady. Anybody know any women named Jezebel? Anybody know any women that should have been named Jezebel? Well, Jezebel sent word that she's after him. And you know the story. He ran underneath the juniper tree and he was depressed. So sometimes, because even the greatest men and women of God are made of human flesh, they get depressed and discouraged and sometimes feel like quitting. But Moses was faithful. Moses had a very unique relationship with God. In Hebrews, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. In Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Or I could have you read them if you want to. Anybody? Did anybody turn with me there? Anybody want to read?
I'll do it.
Okay. 1 through 6, chapter 3 of Hebrews.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
All right, thank you. So, of course, Hebrews is, among other things, a book of comparisons, comparing Christ to the angels, comparing the priesthood of Christ to the priesthood of Aaron, which is the Christ would be the priesthood of Melchizedek. Here we find him compared to Moses. And the Bible says that Christ was faithful. And also verse 2, not only was he faithful, but Moses was faithful in all his house. The point of the author here is that Christ was better and greater than Moses. But it does not take away from the greatness of Moses. Not only was he faithful to walk with God, but he spoke to God as a man speaks to a friend. Exodus 33 and verse number 11. Just going to read one verse here. Exodus 33, verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You can also, I might as well read it. Numbers chapter 12, just two verses there. Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8. Numbers 12, verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, or without any kind of hidden, I don't want to say hidden agenda, but the language was clear. There were no allegories or anything like that. He said, even straight, man to man, not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, the likeness of the Lord. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's talking to Miriam, who, of course, became a leper. Moses interceded for her, and it was a seven-day thing that she was back in the camp. But she was bad-mouthing her brother. That's just not very nice. So his secret to life, his secret to faithfulness, was not his own abilities. Remember the burning bush experience in Exodus 3? Did Moses say, yeah, I'm your man, Lord, I got elegance. I can speak with elegance, and I know a lot. And I could really. I'm the man. Lord, but I can't even speak. He's a very humble man. He didn't claim to have any special abilities. He was, of course, educated in Egypt. He had the finest education. Stephen in Acts 7, before he was stoned, and he gave a speech or a sermon. One of the first deacons, and he reiterated the history of Israel, and he talked a lot about Moses and details about Moses. But Moses was a man of humility, walked with the Lord in humility. He spent time with God. He listened to what God said. He did almost all the time what God instructed him to do. He was devoted to his people. Twice the Lord was going to destroy the people of Israel and start over with Moses. First one, of course, Exodus 32, the golden calf incident. We're familiar with that. But also in Numbers 14, if you want to write these down, Numbers 14, 10 through 25. He was also, like Jesus, willing to lay his life down for the sheep. In Exodus 32, again, the golden calf incident, God was going to destroy the people. And remember what Moses said? He said, God, or Lord, in order not to do that, I would be willing for you to even to block my name out of the book. Remember, Paul said something similar, that he was willing to go to hell, basically, for God's people. I'm not willing to go to hell for anybody. What about for your own kids? Grandkids? No. How about your little great-granddaughter? No. I'm not willing to go to hell. Because when you go there, do you get out? No. So I guess it's important that we let our kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids know about Jesus if we haven't already, which I'm sure we have. All right. Moses faithfully interceded. The Lord, of course, took 80 years to train Moses. He ministered for 40 years. He lived to be 120 and he died. He gave up the treasures of Egypt to identify with the people of God. In Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter in Hebrews, the author mentions, and it would make sense that certainly Moses would be included in this list, wouldn't he? In chapter 11, verse number 24 of Hebrews, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus 2, verses 10 and 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Or he kept his attention focused on ultimately being with the Lord. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He persevered. And of course, by faith he knew, and by sight as well. At that point, he knew God was with him. But his training, like ours, is determined by God. So we have to be sensitive to our Lord, to the Holy Spirit of God, that we do pursue the training, whatever that may be, that God intends for us. Then finally, Moses was a type of Christ. He wasn't equal to Christ by any means. He was a sinner like you and I. But there's a lot of similarities between the Lord Jesus Christ and Moses. Let me just give you a few real quick here as we close it out. Both he and Jesus were born into godly homes, were they not? Mary and Joseph were godly. And of course, Moses ended up with his actual mother who nursed him. And no doubt trained him. She was a godly woman. And also, both were involved in ministry when things were hard for the Jewish nation. Rome had, of course, taken over Palestine. Israel was under Roman domination. And of course, you know the story. And Moses, of course, Egypt. They were in bondage to Egypt. Moses, as we just read, gave up the treasures in Egypt, but Jesus Christ gave up the splendors of heaven. All of the riches of heaven and became poor for us that we would become rich in him. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. And now we are able to share in his spiritual riches. And according to Ephesians 1, they are deposited for us in heaven already. Moses, like Jesus, was rejected by his people. Remember the first time he went to check on the Jews and saw one being mistreated by an Egyptian, and that Egyptian met his demise. He thought, well, this will surely gain the attention of the people. Of course, he's ahead of God at this point. His heart was in the right place, but it wasn't God's, the timing wasn't there. He wasn't trained yet as God wanted him to be trained, which shows us it's not enough just to have a great education, have a lot of head knowledge, because he had all that. And so the people rebelled against that. They rejected him the first time. They said, what are you doing? Later he got in the midst of a confrontation between two Jewish brothers. Are you gonna kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And then he headed for the hills and went to Midian, and the rest is history. But the second time he came, he was accepted. Exodus 4, 29 to 31, and then Stephen talked about it in Acts 7, 23 through 36. We know that Israel rejected Christ at his first coming, didn't they? Came unto his own received him not. But they will receive him at his second coming, Zechariah 12, 10 through 13, 1. Zechariah 12, 10 through 13, 1. As we talked about briefly, Moses was a meek man. He was a gentle man. He wasn't a weak man. Meekness is not weakness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, Matthew 11, he himself described himself as meek and lowly in heart. Moses finished what God wanted him to finish. He finished his work. And when Jesus prayed in John 17, right before his death, that same week, he prayed and he said, Father, I've done what you asked me to do. The work on earth was completed. It was time to die and do that final task, the suffering and death that he came to accomplish. Moses left Joshua and the elders behind to guide the people into the promised land. The Lord Jesus Christ trained apostles and left them behind to evangelize the world. And now, of course, we are here to carry on their work of world evangelization. Jesus' face shone on the Mount of Transfiguration that we just read about. Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face shined as well. And then lastly, Moses was mighty in words and deeds, Acts 7:22. Jesus was also, as he was ministering on earth, Luke 24, verse number 19, he was mighty in words and deeds. So you see the comparison? Moses was a type of Christ. In verse number 10 of chapter 34, I wanted to point something out here. Well, let me back up to, let me go ahead and start with verse 8. I want to make a quick comment there. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, and that's how long they also wept for Aaron, Numbers 20, verse number 12. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands upon him. He basically confirmed the ability that God had already given Joshua. It was confirmed, and that would have given confidence to the people. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. They obeyed him as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. What about, there was somebody in the New Testament that Jesus talked about. Who was that? Prophet. Last prophet. Anybody ever hear John the Baptist? What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Was there any man greater, born of woman? He was the greatest. So he even superseded Moses in greatness in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least in what he was sent by God to do. In all signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants, and to all his land, in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror or deeds which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, speaking, of course, of the mighty power that God displayed through Moses. Questions or comments about Deuteronomy? Again, we will look at some of the things to remember, and then we're going to move on, do a little brief little study of the heart and the mind, how they fit together in the Old and New Testaments, because there are some differences. There's a lot of confusion there. I don't know if we're going to help the confusion or add to it. Might add the word soul in there, which is linked with mind. So we'll... Fred had brought that up several weeks ago. Thank you, sir. Continue to pray for our church. Pray that the visitors will come back. Had a great Sunday last Sunday. And I needed it. I don't know about you, but it was an encouragement. Pray for our nation. Pray for Ukraine, that they'd sit down and get this thing settled and stop the atrocities. Pray for our missionaries, Meriden's Purse, all of the Southern Baptist missionaries, the Voices of the Martyrs, Jews for Jesus. Pray for Mark. His health has an appointment on, I have written down here, August the 16th. That's not correct? That's what I thought he said earlier. I don't know where I got the 16th from. 21st, okay. Continue to pray for Bill. God would renew those shriveled up kidneys. Betty's eyes, well, one eye that she had worked on is getting better. Through the doctor, gave her a good report. She's still got a ways to go, but continue to pray for her. It's good to see Sherry back. Continue to pray for Sherry. Lori had a pretty good week. There were some days that weren't so great, but she said all in all, you had a good week, and that's good considering the oppressive heat and humidity. Pray for Missy Nixon, Bill Nicholson, Ronnie and his mom. Judy Shade goes August 7th to the doctor. Continue to pray for Mary and Leonard. God to give them strength. Pray for my daughter, Michelle. She said she's doing a little better. Still doesn't have answers yet. I think she's got an appointment coming up with a cardiologist. Pray for George. Has his test on his birthday. Happy birthday to you. I have surgery to remove my second head that's growing on my neck. / shoulder this Thursday. Pray about that if you would. Then don't cut the wrong thing. That would be bad. Pray for Mason. He has rheumatoid arthritis. They're going to increase his meds. Checking for a blood disease. He leaves Saturday. Left Saturday medical mission in Colombia, South America. So pray for safety for them and have a profitable trip. Did Brian and Tommy get back safe, or are they still gone?
Tommy has, but Brian
is
not back yet.
Okay, continue to pray for safety. For Brian and the family, continue to remember the Shoemaker family, death of David. Scott is battling kidney stones. Went to the ER on, I think, Monday, right? And they found two stones, one passed, one hasn't. So pray for him. George's dad is having surgery tomorrow. He doesn't know what it's about, but he's having surgery tomorrow. George's stepmom called, left a message, but didn't give any details. George's brother Harold's family, pray for them. Don't know what the need is, but there is a need there. And then Judy Triplett, who is Mary's sister, was in a 3-car accident on Friday, right? Friday evening, afternoon. Evidently, a storm was coming up on 50 in Winchester area, and it caused the thingy to come down that blocks the traffic. Lights were flashing. And she slowed down, and the guy behind her didn't. Not paying attention, slammed into her, knocked her into somebody else. She is in Winchester. She's okay. No serious injuries. They were going to let her out, but she started having leg swelling and pain. So we'll check that out. So pray much for Judy. She's going to be sore for a while. Mary was saying that there were 8 airbags in her vehicle, and all 8 of them deployed. And you know, when those things hit you, you're going to be sore. So she got hammered by airbags. All right. Anybody have anybody you want to add? Which you should have done on the way in. But you may have forgot. Because I forget things. You probably didn't know that. But anybody? All right. Let's stand together. We'll take these requests to our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you are God. And we marvel at the prayers that you answer. We can look back and see again and again and again and again. As we've called out to you, you have so graciously healed and restored and met need after need after need. And we can't praise you enough, Lord. You are worthy of all the glory. And we ask, Lord, for these that we called out to you that have physical needs. Some have tests. Some have doctor's appointments. Surgery's coming up. We pray, Lord, you would intervene for each one according to your will and purpose. And if it would please you to heal, we ask that you would. Those traveling, we pray for safety. We thank you for the prayers you've answered there already. We pray for the family that has lost a loved one. We pray, Lord, that if they don't know you as Savior and Lord, that through this difficult time, they would look up and see a Savior that loves them and respond to the gospel message in repentance and faith. We pray, Lord, that as George's dad has surgery tomorrow, we pray to guide the surgeon's hands. And Lord, we pray Thursday as to go through that procedure that you would also do the same. We thank you again for your love. We thank you for Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, for the peace and joy that replace the anxiety and the sadness and the brokenness that sin causes. We thank you for restoring us in Christ, that we have passed from death unto life. So Lord, please bless the next hour. May you be glorified in all that's said and done. Give us a good time in your word, a sweet time of fellowship. We love you, Lord. We love your people. We love your church. And we look forward to the time that we'll be with you for all of eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've got about 10 minutes.